Nelson. I think you guys might know that guy. And Steve Suarez. Steve's the, if there's someone you want to know about, it's probably Steve. Steve is the co-founder and organizer of Wadapalooza. We're just chilling, having some grub. Noah, what is it that you are eating? That looks absolutely revolting.
Thank you. It's delicious. We've got some Fitter down here. I think they were at, or I know that they were at Wadapalooza, doling out some good food, some jasmine rice, some chicken with black beans, and a Brussels sprout hash.
So why does it look like that?
I haven't put the magic touch on it yet. I gotta do my display.
Do you do that every time before you eat it? Like spice, like I don't know, mix it up or whatever? Because I've noticed that people that eat Fitter.
Every time.
So Fitter, if you guys don't know, they were one of our food vendors at Wadapalooza. So they did have food on hand. And so they are a meal service plan that Noah, that you prescribed to. Is that correct? You're cutting it up.
That is correct. Yep. It's probably out of the 10 to 15 meal services that I've used since I started CrossFit, it's probably my favorite in terms of quality of food, the way it's portioned, all that stuff. Yeah, it's delicious.
Cool, man.
Although I've been delegated to Noah's official microphone holder, what is going on right now? Where are we? What is happening?
I don't think anybody really cares. So we're a little unorthodox. Usually we're either on the phone or whatever, but this time we're actually in Noah Olson's apartment.
Where the magic happens.
Actually, where you're sitting is the magic spot.
Shit.
That's why that stain's there. It's pretty nasty, man. Noah.
That's Max. That was Max's stain.
Max is sleeping over in the corner. Noah's making lunch. And it looks like you got a book here, dude. What is this? What you should know about politics, but don't. Is this your read, Noah?
That is. Yes, sir. I am just kind of educating myself on a little bit of politics. I was pretty ignorant in regards to that whole world. And my girlfriend bought this for me as a nice little gift so that we can have intelligent conversations about what's going on in this upcoming election.
Good, man. It seems like you're two pages in there. That's really great.
Oh, come on. What do we got? We're on page 10 right now. So.
And what sparked your interest in politics? Is it the elections this year or, I mean, anything else?
Nothing in particular. I just didn't want to be ignorant. And I wanted to be able to have conversations with people about the candidates and what's going on and all the different policies and everything, because I knew nothing about them before. And Francis was talking to me about it the other day, so
who's that guy?
Able to keep up with him.
Good old Francis. You're 10 pages in. Are you Republican or Democrat?
I would say I'm a little bit more left wing than a conservative Republican, right? So I'm a Democrat, I guess, if I had to label myself.
Speak the basic language. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive after only 10 pages. If the elections were today, who would you vote for?
Oh, man. I'm not that far into the book yet. But
are you in there?
I don't know. I think I saw a really cool mural on the beach in Venice, California. We're out there. That said, Feel the Burn 2016. So
Donald Trump.
Right. So definitely not Trump. Joanne is pretty convinced that if Trump wins, that we're moving to like Australia or Canada or something like that.
I don't think that's a bad decision to make either way. I wouldn't mind.
So you'd vote for Bernie Sanders right now if the elections were today. Is that, I'm assuming that's what Feel the Burn means.
Potentially. I'd like to, we could talk about who your pick is. No, I want to hear who your pick is and why, and I just got to learn a little bit more about it before I make a decision.
I mean, that's why everyone's really here anyway, to hear what Steve has to say. Noah's just here as a sideshow. Steve.
No, whoever is listening right now, if there is anybody listening, is still wondering, who the hell is Steve and why is he talking?
We haven't even opened up the podcast yet. Okay, so hey, guys, this is episode number 9 of the Wadapalooza podcast. As you can tell, it's myself, Dylan Malitsky, here with Noah Olson, some guy that we found, and we happened to wander into his apartment. And we've got Steve Suarez, Esteban Suarez. Why don't you? I know we've had an earlier podcast where we talked about you a little bit, but why don't you just introduce yourself? Come on, man, please.
I am absolutely nobody of any importance. I am the designated microphone holder for Noah Olson.
The designated mic holder.
That's it. That's all I am.
No, man. Steve is I would say, I think I've used this adjective way too many times, the glue to Wadapalooza. Steve is he's the man behind the scenes that gets a lot of the stuff done that nobody wants to do. The infrastructure, as far as the logistics of having, you know, Sunbelt, the construction company, the all the tents, all the structures you see at the park, that's all Steve. And now Noah's drinking out of a wine jug that looks to be 2 liters. How big is that bottle?
1 gallon. A gallon a day.
Dude, isn't that a pain? That thing's glass.
No, it's awesome. I think it's, I don't know, it looks, it's very cool. Convenient. You just fill it up, a gallon of water. It's like a California thing. They do it out there. Kenny Leverage turned me onto it. You get to put a bunch of fun stickers on it and just stay hydrated throughout the day. Do some curls in between.
That's not the only thing that Kenny Leverage has turned you on to.
Ayo.
That's a little too much of it. What would you do if that thing breaks? Where do you even buy one of those things?
I think they only sell them in California, potentially. I don't know.
So we have to fly out there if we break one of these things by accident while we're doing this podcast.
I'm not going to drop it, I promise. Dude, so yeah, so we're in your humble abode. Your apartment's pretty dang nice, man. I know you're, if you guys don't know.
It's pretty big time.
Yeah, Noah's apartment's about a 2-minute drive away from our home box of Peak 360. How long have you lived here, buddy? I know the answer to that, but so other people at home.
My girlfriend Joanne and I, along with our little puppy guy Max, have been in this apartment over here in Miami for, man, it's been since about October. So not too long,
five
but
months.
We're settling in. We like it a lot over here. It's our first place together. Things are going very well, so we're happy about that.
A year lease or 2-year lease?
We've just got one for now, and we'll see where the tides take us next. We were potentially going to live in California. We spent 3 months out there this summer. Joanne got a job down here back in Miami working for U Health Sports Medicine. So we moved back, and she may want to go back to grad school, and we could end up somewhere else. So, like I said, just kind of rolling where the tide takes us.
Speaking of the tide, you said you were out there on the Pacific coast. Dude, did you said, I think last time we had a conversation on the podcast, we talked about it a little bit, but I think you mentioned that you like it better out here. What were some reasons other than was Joanne's getting a job? I could have swore you guys came back and she got the job after you moved back. But, I mean, what do you prefer, West Coast, East Coast?
No,
what's the deal?
I think both coasts have their perks. But we did come back because she got the job. She actually came out for an interview for that a month before I did. So I was still out in California when she was back here interviewing. She got the position. We decided to come back. I personally was missing the environment that I've been used to training in for the past 5 years at Peak. I just couldn't seem to replicate that anywhere out in California. I had an awesome time being able to train at my coach, Dusty Highlands Gym, Dogtown CrossFit. Had some really fun sessions outside at Deuce Gym, which was right down the street from our apartment out there. But I just was really, really craving the exact scenario that I kept picturing, was lifting on the platform right in front of the big bay door at Peak. And now that I've been back to fulfill that, everything's been great. Just really clicking, feeling good.
Plus, you get to see me every day now.
And we miss Steve a lot. I was thinking about moving back into his garage, but we decided against it. We got our own place.
That's a whole nother topic of conversation. So we don't have to dig into it. But if you guys didn't know, Noah at one point in time, me and Noah previously lived together, and we kind of got the boot. Mr. Larry Aguero, who is not listening to this, I can tell you for certain he's not.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody can transcribe it for him. But anyway, so we lived with him for about a year. It's okay. Who cares? And then we kind of got the boot because he, good for him, got engaged. And then, you know, me and you were kind of out on the street. I lived with my girlfriend for a little while. Noah ended up living with his girlfriend, Steve, for a little while. No, just kidding. Live with Steve for a little while, and then we both got our own place. I think everything worked out for the better.
Yeah, everything's coming full circle.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about your off season, Noah. We're getting into the nitty-gritty of the CrossFit game season, but you had a very exciting off season. Our last podcast a couple weeks ago was with 2016 champ Brooke Wells. You are nice. The other 2016 champ, as well as 2015.
Woo. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
lucky
man.
Me.
And so, yeah, so Wodapalooza, you had a very exciting offseason. Crushed it at Wodapalooza the next week, took second place at the ECC, and now you took a second place in 16.1. Dude, you're shining right now.
He is, but can we even rewind further? Before Wodapalooza, and I'm looking up on Noah's refrigerator here, and he has three pretty awesome trophies.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, for many reasons, the middle one is by far the most awesome.
It's the smallest, though.
Yeah, but it weighs more and it has 24 karat gold on it. but it is the smallest, damn it. But there's one all the way to the right. I think I recognize the one on the left. Not sure what that is, but with the one on the right, all the way on the right, it's pretty cool. Can you tell us a little bit about that trophy?
And when was that, dude? When?
Yeah, so like you said, I did have an exciting off season. Did a little bit of traveling, more than I had originally planned. ended up taking a trip out to Dubai for about 10 days, competed out there 2 weekends in a row, and was able to lock up a first place finish in the Dubai Fitness Championships against a bunch of really cool dudes out there. And then came back, recovered a little bit, Wadapalooza, recovered not as much, right to ECC, and here we are, first week of the Open.
And in Dubai, didn't you win like $1 million Dubanese dollars?
The blooms.
The blooms.
No,
the
in blooms, in Dubai, they call them, man, I'm blanking right now.
The blooms.
No, not the blooms.
Dubanese.
Man, I know this. Hold on. Dubai.
Yeah, you offered to give me one of those. One
yeah,
of those.
1,000. Oh, man, why can't I remember this right now?
Let's think about it. How about in American dollars? How much money did you win out there?
In total, I came back with about $80,000.
Are you kidding me, dude?
From Dubai.
80 grand.
So they made you guys look like little babies.
Oh,
35.
Man. No, well, actually, 35. There maybe that's a future in future years. Dude, do you get I mean,
Durham. Thank you.
Durham.
I Googled that.
So I think I ended up with, it was either 200,000 or 300,000 Durham, which was converted to that in U.S. dollars.
Oh, gee. How about, do you get taxed on that?
Let's not talk about that. I don't know.
No, but that's a lot of money. So for all you kids listening out there, you can make decent money, you know, doing a little bit of fitness and doing some of these, you know, big off-season competitions, I guess.
But I don't know. I had the same conversation with Brooke Wells a couple weeks ago, that there are really only about, I mean, I can count on my hand the number of athletes that are probably making a very decent salary as a professional fitness athlete. You know, our goal, one of our missions as Wadapalooza, is to be able to pay the athletes, the elite, as if they are professional athletes, and I think the sport is going in that direction. But I think those that are making a livable wage that is beyond just like the bare bones minimum is quite nil. I think you're one of the very few.
Yeah, thankfully I was able to rake in a little bit more than enough this year to be able to support myself and have a nice apartment like this for the first time, really.
What is it, about 10,000 square feet? It's like a vaulted ceilings here. It's really nice, man.
It's pretty big.
The penthouse.
It has its own bowling alley.
That is true.
It does. And does it have a movie? What else does it have? What are some of the other amenities of this place?
We've got 2 rooftop pools, like that we personally own, Joanne and I. We've got our own 2-lane bowling alley. Max has his own dog park
outside. There it is.
None of this is true, by the way. Those are all actually, they exist and they're here, but they are owned by the apartment complex. So we're lucky enough to have access to all of those cool things.
Super dope, man. Yeah, man. That's making all that dough from, again, that trophy on the right in the show notes, folks. I'll take a little snapshot of what's above the fridge and we'll put it out there so you can see the 3 trophies.
Cool beans.
So on the right, you've got the Dubanese trophy from the Dubai Fitness Championship. And then in the center, we've got the Wadapalooza trophy, which we'll talk a little bit about your experiences at this Wadapalooza. Noah, I think you've competed it every single year. Am I right on that, Steve or Noah?
Yes, sir.
Did you compete year one? It's been all 5 years, huh? Actually,
didn't you compete
JD, I like to call him Sparky, from Reebok. Sparky sent me a video just recently of, I think it was year one. I think I shared it with you. I don't know, Noah, but it was... I was the MC. I had no voice. I'm a horrible MC, and Dylan reminds me of that on a daily basis. He can't believe that. I actually MC'd for 2 years at Wadapalooza. But I'm MCing a heat with JD. It was year one, actually. That's right. JD won it that year. He was coming off the games. And Noah and him were doing a rowing rope climb workout, deadlift workout.
I remember that bad boy.
I just sent him that video. He must have shared it with you. A little bit. That was on my Vimeo account. I stumbled across 275 deadlifts. My back was like as round as can be, having a real hard time. I think Jared actually, before that workout, taught me how to smooth out my row a little bit. I was kind of looping out around my knees the whole time, and JD was helping me out in the warm-up area, get a nice smooth pull going on that.
JD is smooth, isn't he?
He sure is.
He's smooth.
As smooth as the other side of the pillow. Jared Davis, man. He was a stud back in the day.
He was. They used to call him Deuce.
What happened?
I'm not sure why, but.
Don't put little Deuce down. I actually texted him yesterday. He
making a comeback?
Well, I don't remember what place he was in now because I don't remember much of anything that ever happens. But I was looking at the leaderboard yesterday in the Open, and he, in the Southeast region, he actually didn't do bad. And I was like, oh.
Oh, he lives down here now, huh?
He lives in Jacksonville. No, St. Augustine. Right. He's in St. Augustine, and I texted him yesterday because I saw him up there on the leaderboard. He's, I don't know, he's up there in the, like, the top 30 or 20 or something after the workout. So I told him, oh, man, is making a comeback. And he said, well, there's still four more to go.
I'm nervous.
Don't count me in. He's coming for you now.
And so, yeah, man, so you got the Dubai Fitness Championship, Wadapalooza, and then the following weekend, ECC. But now we are well into, well, 1 week into open season, dude. You straight up.
We're wells into it.
Wells into it. Miss Brooke Wells was last week's guest, and now we're here with Noah again. I don't know where Brooke finished actually in the world on that, but you, sir, finished second, tied for second with Jacob Heppner, only to be eclipsed by Josh Bridges on the first one, and he kept it down and kind of under wraps. He posted at the last minute, and he did really freaking well. But I'm more impressed with yours. You did it on Friday, right?
Thank you. Yes, I did do it on Friday. When I was sitting in that top spot, I was nervous about a few people potentially beating me. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty out there that could do it, but I was particularly wondering what Josh Bridges, Rich Froning, and Matthew Fraser were going to put up.
I didn't see how they ended up doing. I think Fraser had like just over 3, like 315 or 316 or something. I got to look.
I think he was in the 320s.
That's still
something.
Good.
Yeah, I think he and Rich were both around there. But yeah, Josh definitely kicked butt on that one. I was hoping to hold him off. I've never won an open workout in my whole life. Now was my chance.
He
ripped it away from me.
Chopped your dreams down, man. But it's not good. Over. You got 4 more weeks.
Yep, 4 more. 4 to go.
That's it, man. But so, yeah, dude, so you've got that. The open week 2. We are now today, as of this release, it is Wednesday. So tomorrow at 8 p.m., the workout comes out. It looks like you just pulled up the leaderboard on your phone there, Steve.
Sure did. Mr. Fraser is in 36th place with 324 reps. And I saw Mr. Richard Froning Jr. is tied for 52nd with 320 reps. It's amazing how such little reps, you know, can mean the difference between.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
But pretty wild. But going back to Wadapalooza.
That's all about.
That's all that matters, really, right?
At the end of the day, I think so. No,
for sure.
I'm just kidding. But going back to Wadapalooza, so you come back from Dubai with all your little Dubanese dollars and having a wonderful time, and you hit January. Can you talk to us? I think we spoke to you before Wadapalooza, obviously. Yeah, we haven't spoken to you since. So what was your experience like at Wadapalooza this year? I'm holding my armpit over my hair, and why do I have my arm like this in this position? It's really, really awkward.
The sweatiest armpits I've ever seen. What's the deal here, bro? And you've just been, oh, you're airing it out, I guess.
Steve's really nervous.
I'm in Noah Olsen's house. I think I'm nervous. I'm not sure what's going on.
It's okay.
My arm is definitely in a weird
position.
We
won't do to you here what we do to most.
Listen, so you come back. What was your experience like at Wadapalooza? I know this year's Wadapalooza was quite different, quite exciting in many different ways. What was your experience like?
Yeah, no, it's always been so much fun. I love Wadapalooza just because it is so different in that manner, that you're outdoors, it's a weekend full of not just working out, but so many different things in between. That's why you guys label it a fitness festival. This year was no different. I guess aside from the fact that on Friday, it was a little rainy, which...
just a little.
Which is pretty cool. I actually... It added a different element to the competition that I think a lot of people, maybe not in the moment, enjoyed, but afterwards reflected on and realized that it was really cool to be able to kind of persevere through that and safely, like, because of how everybody handled it, be able to lift weight and do pull-ups and all that stuff. And I don't know, we all got through the full day and everyone's still alive and kicking, and we had a great time and got some really cool pictures for Instagram. That's all that really matters, right?
At the end of the day, well, not for Steve. Steve, why don't you even have it? I can't comprehend this. We can go back to talking about Wadapalooza, but I want to ask you at some point, why the heck Steve Suarez doesn't have an Instagram? But
he's got a hashtag, Steve Suarez.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
let's see how many photos are actually under
there's
that
like
hashtag.
To be honest, I checked recently. I think he's got about four.
Four?
What? Oh, look how who called me. I missed it.
Funny story about four likes. There was last year during the games, Guido and I were making our rounds, you know.
The Steve Harvey Show is the first hashtag that comes up.
There you go, me and Steve Harvey. Guido and I were making our rounds around Carson, and we were doing it. We did a podcast with Ben Alderman and Blair Morris. I think it's called.
Dude, you got 22 posts to your name.
This is getting better by the day. I think they're all the same picture. Probably my wife.
Some good stuff there, dude.
Look at that.
This is my favorite one right here.
That one in the water. What about Robert Hershovich? That's my dude.
There he is. Are you guys best friends now?
We are.
Do you chat
Rob
often?
And I he just got engaged. So nice. Rob, if you're listening, congratulations on your engagement.
That's awesome. Congrats,
and it's Hershovich, by the way, man. You guys are probably really close. It sounds like you guys are best friends.
Best of friends.
Robert Hershovich. No, man. No, I know that you guys are close. I know you talk to him on a daily basis, man. And I'm glad that you've kept that relationship up, man. But yeah, so you talked about Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How has this, other than the rain, has this Wodapalooza differed in any way from years past? And I don't know, anyway, dude, I want you to speak candidly, too. I mean, I don't know, I want you to be as blunt and up. We can always edit it out if you say something that we don't want you to hear. But
no,
we don't
for sure. I think, I don't know, the first thing that comes to mind is the fact that there is always a water workout that you guys have at Wodapalooza, and this year you were able to add a twist to that, I guess, kind of like every year. Like, we've paddleboarded out there. We've just swam. This year we got to swim actually out to a floating handstand push-up barge, which was really, really cool. I've never done anything like that in my life. So that was a really cool, fun twist that I think everybody will remember and has really cool pictures and video of. What else did we do that was pretty awesome? There were some really cool moments, like waiting in the athlete staging area before going out on the Flagler at night for one of the final men's heats. And it's dark, and they've got like really cool just neon fluorescent lighting and the DJ playing crazy music really loud. Everybody in the stands is jumping up and down. They had, courtesy of UHealth, Joanne set up this, I forget what they were called, these little xylo bands that were kind of glowing in reference to the beat of the music. And I don't know, it was just pretty surreal to look around and see everybody having such a good time and realize like, hey, I'm entertaining these people as well and going out there and putting on a show.
It's pretty cool, man. I agree. I think that was one of the cooler parts. You're going to see some footage coming out here soon of some aerial footage showcasing those xylo bands. Oh, nice. It was such a cool overhead shot. We've been trying to get those cut up for quite a while now, so look out for them. So look, man, I know whenever you step out onto a big stage like the CrossFit Games or like Wodapalooza for those final heats, the nerves probably kick in. I'm not sure. Do you get nervous before final workout, before a workout in general when you're competing?
Yeah, absolutely. I find that the night before the first day of a competition is usually when the nerves are the most heightened for me. I'm laying in bed and I can kind of like feel my pulse in my throat and like I feel like it's rocking the bed. That's how much I'm like
try to keep it down so Joanne doesn't wake up.
Right, but I don't know. Once the first workout is over, and I'm sure most people can attest to that, but once you get the first one out of the way and you just kind of get into the flow and start feeling good, it's not as bad. And especially when you start off doing well and you can keep that momentum rolling, it's a little less nerve-wracking as you go from event to event.
Well,
so
I think the you know, on that same note with nerves, I think what people are wondering at home, do you ever get the pre-workout nervous poops?
Whoa. I'm a pretty regular pooper, or maybe more than regular. I was just talking about the other day that I'm getting out like 4 or 5 a day.
Dude, me too. Do you drink a lot of coffee?
No, I have a coffee in the morning. That's about it. But I don't know. I think that's good. I'm not sure.
4 or 5 is a lot, dude. I don't know. I mean, I'm close to there, but I think you might have just eclipsed me. That's pretty crazy.
I know. I mean, I figure if I'm eating like a pretty high volume of food, which I am now, that it's not all going to stay in there forever. So I don't know. Everything's good there. I usually don't have any issues with that. I know I've been working out with Travis, or as we call him, Old Man Page, at the gym. And I don't know what he ends up doing in there, but he goes to the bathroom like 5 times before we start every single workout. So maybe with age, you lose the ability to
hold it in. I don't know. Well, you know, so I guess we can – I think that's, you know, the elite level CrossFitter, you, Travis, and myself. Just kidding. I'm not an elite level CrossFitter. But now ask somebody that's more of the 99%, the average Joe. Steve, hey. He works out on a regular basis. I think he would self-describe himself as a non-elite athlete. What are your, or do you poop?
I beg to differ.
Well, he, at one point in time, he was crushing it against you and I.
Steve was a stud, and I think he still secretly is. In the morning, he works out, and he, like, he probably got 12 rounds on 16.1. He just didn't post his score.
He doesn't want to, he's okay. He doesn't want to take the limelight anymore, man, and everything he does. Wadapalooza, he doesn't want to get any of the credit, and now, even with working out, I think he just gave it up to us Young Bucks.
Look, I'm a one time a day pooper, and I would hate to embarrass the four time a day poopers with my 12 and a half rounds, and 16.1.
That's
but
good.
Yeah, 12 and a half was good. I almost redid it, but I decided not to.
I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah, no, I was coming for you.
Then I don't know, man. Josh Bridges might have been giving a run for his money as well, but yo, so yeah, man. All right.
All right.
All righty then. Does Max have any? What is Max doing over there?
You're good at all this shit, right? So we were talking about Wadapalooza. So what was your favorite event? Was it that water event?
I think that was part of it. Another one that stands out to me because it was that really cool setting on Flagler with all the lights and just the way the workout was designed was the snatch medley. Not just for the lights and the design of the workout, but every now and then you have a workout that goes according to plan, and that feels great. Sometimes you have workouts that end up going better than plan, and that feels even better, obviously. So I hit all my snatches. I didn't miss any, and I ended up just kind of in the moment feeling good with the adrenaline and stuff, was able to go touch and go on my sets of 2 and 3 at 245, which I don't think I've ever done before. But with the crowd there and the adrenaline and everything, I was able to pull that off. So that just kind of stands out to me. I felt like a, I don't know, like a savage maybe is a word to describe that in the moment. So that was a pretty cool one for me.
And that was a really unique environment. I think Saturday night on Flagler, I mean, it was pretty awesome, and you described it. Was it Saturday night at Flagler?
Yeah. I was trying to think of what, I know we had Sunday night at Flagler as well with,
we did the Xylo bands and the robots and all that on Saturday night.
Yeah, I didn't catch any of the robots. The robots were cool. I'm sure I'll see it on the footage you guys were talking about.
I think it's been on Instagram already. The robots were pretty cool. But going back to what you just said, do you strategize a lot before these workouts? Or do you feel like you overthink some of these things sometimes? Or do you, like 16.1, let's talk about 16.1 because that's what's fresh in everybody's mind. Did you go into that workout strategizing it, or did you just say, you know what, it's 20 minutes, I'm just not gonna stop moving, I'm just gonna just attack it and go? Or did you like think about it for a long time?
You know, it's awesome. Joanne and I were talking about this the other night, that I feel like I'm getting to a point where I've been doing this for just over 5 years, and I'm getting so familiar and in tune with my body and what I'm capable of, that for the first time this year I kind of decided that I didn't want to put a lot of pressure or stress on how I performed in the open. You know, you just really honestly need to come in the top 20. And I think I had a lot of expectations after coming in eighth for the first time at the games in 2014, that during the open in 2015, I figured that I needed to be in the top 10 in the world on that, because I should. I did that well at the games. I should do that well in the open. And I don't know, I just kind of like stressed out for 5 weeks, and it wasn't a great feeling. But I decided this year to kind of take a step back and not put as much pressure on myself and to enjoy the ride a little more. And I did just that. When the workout was announced, we ended up watching the announcement, not live, we watched it a little late, where in years past I would like plan my day around being able to catch that. Yeah. And like I said before, in years past I would lay in bed and picture myself running through the workout and freak out about it a little bit. And this year I laid down in bed and kind of smiled and took a deep breath, and I was like, man, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I thought a little bit about strategy and how I'd move through it, but honestly not much, because kind of like you said, it's 20 minutes, and that was a workout in particular where it's just go, and I knew everything was going to be pretty much unbroken. And I think that comes with being more in tune with my abilities and like knowing that I can accomplish sets of 8 chest to bars unbroken, knowing that I can get through the overhead walking lunges without having to put the bar down, and just being confident in that makes it a little less stressful.
That's awesome. And then, you know, going back to the games, I just watched the Fittest on Earth documentary. And maybe it's because I love you so much and I have obviously a personal relationship with you, but you know, I don't want to rehash everything that happened in last year's games, but I'm sure it's still probably a motivating factor for you. But when – talk to me about that wheelbarrow. Hey, when that wheelbarrow fell over, I was there. My heart sank. The real barrel. It's the real wheelbarrow. I don't even know what to call it anymore, but my heart sank for you. What was that feeling like? I think you kind of described it in the documentary, but
yeah. I think that everybody knows that you were there because you had a little appearance in that docu, didn't you? There was your 2 seconds of fame. You were cheering me on, I think, after Heavy DT. They gave like a slow mo clip of you, which was
funny,
pretty awesome.
Funny story. I didn't have tickets to be sitting where I was, and they tried to throw me out.
You sneak.
And I told them, "Touch me, and I'll sue."
Woo! Got him.
Did you stay there?
I did, but they were threatening to kick me out of the whole damn place. I told them, "Touch me and I'll sue."
And they gave up. They're like, "I'm not getting paid enough for this crap."
So,
I didn't really say that, by the way, but I wasn't supposed to be there.
I think
he told me that story months ago, and now I'm finding out it was all a farce. This guy is full of crap. Anyway, I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off on your question here, dude. Tell us how it felt.
I think the documentary actually captured my reaction to that event really well. I was just bummed, man. Like, I think I said my heart hurts after that had happened, and that was kind of my reaction just because I was hoping to have a great year at the games. I wanted to do better than I had the first year that I was out there in 2014, and I trained really hard to be able to do that. And to have something like that that's, I don't want to call it out of your control, but not like a, I don't know, just kind of an outside factor for something like that to happen was a big bummer, and it just kind of put a damper on my excitement going into the it was the first day that happened, or I guess the second day, because we had the swim on Wednesday. But I just had a really hard time mentally recovering from that for the rest of the weekend, and had a couple other big slip-ups like that. So I wouldn't say that it like gets me fired up or anything. I'm not seeking revenge, but I think it just shows for me in my mind that being able to come in eighth and having some big mistakes like that, like if I were to pull those couple events out of there and be able to capitalize and not have stuff like that happen, that I can do better than I have in the past 2 years.
Well, you said it, and I want to go back to it. You just mentioned that you think that it kind of drained you, or at least made you not as excited for the rest of the weekend. Do you feel like some of your performances maybe not as driven because of that slip up, like the next day, the workout, recovering, kind of getting back into the swing of things? Do you think you would have maybe performed better moving forward from that event had that not happened? Like, were you less motivated to perform well after that?
I know what you're saying. I think that the concept that I was talking about before with starting off well and just being able to roll through that momentum for the rest of the weekend and having that positive energy is a pretty big factor, and obviously I didn't have that. It was quite the contrary. So I think that trying to get out of that negative mindset a little bit more than just like feeling good and wanting to kick butt and keep going there, that wasn't there for me. So it was kind of always like just scrambling to recover and try to do better and like climb my way up, which is not as fun as just like kicking butt and staying rolling with that.
When I was a kid, I used to go to the Heat games. Francis and I, good old Franny and I, used to go to the Heat games, and we'd be down, and I was doing the same thing with you at the games. You know, the Heat it was their first year ever that the Heat played, and they'd be down by like 20 points with a minute left in the game. We're like, well, if he hits 7 3-pointers, you know, he could come back and win. And and it's funny, I guess, as your friend and as a fan, you know, it was, you know, we're watching it, and we're like, well, he's still in it. You know, he's still in it. If he comes in first place in the rest of the wilds,
right.
And we kept the positivity up for you.
I appreciate that.
And I'm
I
sure
tried
a lot
to
of
do
people
it.
Out there did.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that from everybody that believed in me and kind of felt that heartbreak with me on that first or I guess second event. But no, it is kind of cool that I was still able to pull off some good events. I remember Dusty and I kind of broke it down, and my first year, I finished eighth and was a little bit more consistent across the board. I didn't have any like outstanding finishes, nothing inside the top three on my first year, but nothing really outside of like the top 20 or 30, I believe. And then this year, it was kind of different in the sense that I had some awesome events. I took third at the beach. I think I took second on the triangle couplet with the muscle-ups and thrusters. I had a fourth or a fifth on a couple other events. And so, I mean, I just had a little bit more of the up and downs than I did in the year past.
I think you came in like fourth in Murph, huh?
I came in third in Murph, third actually. In Thanks Murph. For the reminder on how, that, yeah.
How bad was that? I mean, watching the video, I was there and it was intolerably hot, just spectating. I can't imagine doing Murph with a vest on in that heat. And I saw, after watching the documentary, I saw you, right when it was done, you jumped underneath a wheelbarrow. Was it the same one that you dropped? It was a wheelbarrow.
You were cuddling with someone too afterwards.
Yeah, Fraser crawled in there with me. We cuddled up and just kind of cooled down after
a little cool down cuddle
session.
A gnarly
40-minute workout. That workout was probably the quote-unquote hardest of the weekend. And I think something that a lot of people neglect to talk about when they reflect on that Murph event in particular was the intensity. You know, like, of course it was hot and it's a very hard workout, but we've all done it so many times before and it's never been that bad, and for sure the heat plays a factor, but I've done Murph here in Miami with the heat like that.
Humidity.
And I've never felt that bad. What it is that you're on the big stage and you're competing with games athletes, so you're pushing yourself at 110%
right
to your full capacity, and that's what makes it a little bit more draining and devastating at the end. When you're at the gym and you're doing it with a friend, like, you think you're going 100%, but you're really probably only pushing it to like 80-90% of what your capacity is. And when you step on the big stage, that's your true 100. And that's actually something that I've gotten in tune with a lot more recently, is realizing that when I train, I think I'm going as hard as I can, but I'll blow my training times out of the water when I compete. I train and I compete at two totally different levels. So,
and it's funny because with Murph specifically, man, they're built-in rests. Like in the CrossFit Games Murph, you had obviously your run was set. It actually goes a little bit uphill and around, so I don't know if that makes it any more brutal. But then the pull-up bars, I think it was broken up every 20 pull-ups. There was 5 bars or 25. And then the push-ups, the same thing. You're advancing, so there's almost built-in rest. And I also, if I remember correctly, I remember being there on the sideline looking, and you can see it watching it on ESPN or wherever. You had a little bit of a hard time, it looked like, with your judge. I don't know why. It just looked like your judge was a little more strict on specifically the push-ups and the squats. I think the pull-ups you were fine, right? I don't think you got any unfair no reps on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I've actually had a lot of people say that, and I didn't recognize it that much in the moment, just because you're in it and there's nothing you can do, so you just shake it off.
And also, you can't observe the others. You can't observe, like, you're looking straight ahead. You can't really see what the other judges are doing, but I'm watching and I'm seeing you and I'm seeing, you know, 20 other guys, like, being given the same reps, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, it's, I guess it's kind of my fault, right? Because when we ran into the stadium, there was a line of judges, and you literally could run up and pick your judge for whichever lane you wanted to. And I guess I got stuck with somebody that gave me a bunch of no reps, whether they were deserving or not. And
I wonder how that would have affected. I don't know if it would have. There's all that shoulda, coulda, woulda. Right. I think the best thing to do is to look towards 2017. And as we pointed out, man, you're off to a freaking excellent start, although there's quite a bit more to go.
So let's talk about Wadapalooza, because that's all that really matters, no?
That's what they say. That's what they say.
Oh, Wadapalooza. Sorry. What is that again? No. Anyway, well, dude, I wanted to tell you, in between that little conversation that Noah and Steve were having, I happened to go into the bathroom, and I can see why you're pooping 4 or 5 times a day. It's very nice in there.
It is. Thank you. It
smells good. You got.
Yeah, we try to make it an inviting environment, you know?
Man, you've got the porcelain, what do they call it? I don't fucking know. I'm going to edit this out.
A bidet
that shoots.
Dude, we actually, at our hotel that we were staying at, it was actually a condo that RPM rented for Kenny Leverage and I to stay at during Wadapalooza. And they had like a built-in bidet on one of the toilets. And I've never used one before, so I was kind of curious. Like, not that I actually used it on my backside, but I kind of like leaned over the toilet after I flushed and was like, oh, what does this thing do? And I turned it on, I guess, full blast, and it shot me in the chest with a stream of water.
The same thing happened to me.
And I moved out of the way, and it was so strong that the water literally hit the ceiling of the bathroom. And I was like, why would anybody want that in their butt? I don't know.
That same thing happened to me, dude. I was house-sitting for someone, and I'm like, oh, what is this? And it squirted me in the face twice because I tried to turn it down and then tried it. I wanted to show Katie, and the same thing.
That's funny.
But you know you're supposed to put that in your butt. It's supposed to clean out your...
I know, but that's strong, dude. If it's hitting the ceiling... That's getting up there.
I've never done it, but that's what a bidet is. I'm positive I've never done it, but now I think I want to try it. Can I go in there and try the bidet? It's not in there?
No, we don't have one of those.
I'm pretty certain of my sexuality, guys, but I have, you know, three young boys. I want to try a bidet.
Okay, got it.
I have three young boys, five, three, and
I know none of this
old.
Is going in there, so. Oh, yeah?
No, okay. Absolutely not. This needs to be edited out because I don't... I have three young boys, 5, 3, and a 10-month-old, and I want to try a bidet.
We're keeping that in here, man. I don't care. As a matter of fact, look, we're
out of context. Just put that in somewhere.
We're 40 minutes in, so nobody is going to listen to 40 minutes. If they do, then we're in trouble.
What's the average time that you guys have been doing on these podcasts?
About an hour, 50 to an hour. Some of them have been shorter. I had one with Guido that was like 20 minutes. It was our first one.
And are people interactive? Like, how do you know? I'm sure you guys get the statistics analytics. On how many people are watching.
I mean, just analytics. I know Steve's going to say some BS.
It'd be cool, actually,
we have thrones of listeners. You'd be surprised. Just thrones of them. When our analytics come and they're like, you know, we have 50,000
like
people.
Like, too many people. There's like a waiting
Brooke
list.
Brooke Wells podcast last week broke the internet. No, broke the internet. Oh. People couldn't even listen in because there was a line. There's a wait list of people listening to this podcast. It's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
And he's absolutely lying. I think we've had about two listeners, and one was my mom, and one was me when I wanted to check it out. No. We actually, I'll tell you what, to be honest with you, the analytics is only our ninth episode, but last week we did have definitely like, you know, five figures of people, so like over 10,000 listeners. So
that's cool. If anybody out there is listening in, leave some comments. Let us know what you thought. Ask some cool questions. Maybe
are we
we'll
done?
Be back on next time. We'll ask him. No
one wants to get out of here.
No, I'm just kidding. Really, I love to interact with people and just kind of hear what people have to say. So,
well, I have a question. Do you have any discount codes or stuff from some of your sponsors? You can tell these people
plugs?
They get this far in, they deserve. No,
any
and they're like,
plugs?
Hey, use code NOAHRX for an RPM rope.
Let me think about it. What do I got? I got
I'm on your phone.
Nutriforce. You actually can get 40% off. By using,
we gotta edit this one out,
dude. 40% off? Come on, 40%. That's big. 40% off at Nolson at checkout. You guys should all check that out.
How do you spell that? People spell your name wrong all the time.
I know,
it drives
man.
Me crazy.
O H L S E N. I get O L S E N all the time.
So,
no big deal.
So N O H L S E N for 40% off Progenics.
40% off Nutriforce protein. It's the good stuff. I think you can get free shipping through RPM with that same code. What else? Caffeine in kilos. If you say that you listened this far in and comment on the Wadapalooza post about this, I'll get them to send you something free. Those are my homeboys. So
that's
if anybody's
cool.
really listening and they
can
they
I
comment,
can I go on like Amazon.com put Nolson and get a discount?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm actually probably going to partner up with Amazon. I've got some big things coming.
Dude, really? You're really going to partner with Amazon? I can't tell if you're joking.
No,
it's very Steve Suarez-esque.
I actually do have some really cool, hopefully pretty big sponsorships brewing that you guys will all find out about, hopefully sooner than later.
All right, we get off the air. I'm gonna ask you all about it, but I wanted to talk about your car situation, but I know we're you got to coach at what time?
I got a while. I coached.
You
got to
pick up. You
got to
pick up
PM.
Your gal at 5 at the train station, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, your carless. We right? Or you were driving your girlfriend's car now?
Yeah, I got in a little fender bender around the corner from here. Some dude smashed me with his monster truck and ended up
grave digger
totaling my car, which was a bummer. But we are actually trying to work out. I got an idea from my good buddy over in Australia, Con Porter, got a promotional lease with BMW. So we're exploring that option down here with a couple of local dealerships.
Free
and,
car.
Something like that. It wouldn't be free because I'd be working hard every day.
What happens if you total that? Do you have to pay the difference?
I'm not sure, but I'm knock on wood. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
I'm knock right here, yeah.
Yeah, no more accidents.
Less and less.
But yeah, that could be a pretty cool thing.
Cool, man. That's huge, dude. You get a free car. And what code can they say to be Nelson at checkout at their local BMW?
40% off.
Oh, dude, I'm there.
Range Rover.
I'm gonna be the first one to comment, and people will catch on. I want the free thing from Caffeine and Kilos. It depends on what they're gonna give me.
They're gonna send you like one coffee bean.
Dude, what about Max? Max just recently got a sponsorship.
Yes, he did. He locked in his first official sponsorship with Nulo, which is a really, really awesome dog food company. They make some good healthy stuff that he loves. He's a picky eater, and he really, really likes this stuff. They were a sponsor at Wadapalooza, so I think all the athletes got a little sample pack in there.
Oh, they were delicious, by the way. I enjoyed every bite.
Yeah, they were good. Nice little sample there. But, yeah, he's getting free dog food, and they're sending a couple bucks his way. So we get him, like, one toy a month, and we keep the rest and go party with it.
And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You look in the corner. There are lots and lots of toys for Max.
Yep, he's living the doggy dream.
He is, man. You really do hook it up. He lives in the gym, and that's it, man. Well, I don't know what else to talk about here. It sounds like life is perfect in the Olsen household.
Life is good, man. I wouldn't say perfect, but everything is moving on the right path, and I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm try to keep rolling with that for as long as I can.
All right. Well, best of luck to you moving forward in the open and hopefully regionals and the games.
I
already booked my
that.
Flights for both of them. American Airlines and checkout. Put Olsen. Nelson. if you go to American Airlines and you put Nelson while you check out, you get 40% off of your flights to regionals. The Southeast Regionals is once again in Atlanta. And then the good old games over in Carson, California.
You're speaking out of turn here. He's got 4 more weeks of the Open. He may have taken second in the world.
Yeah, I
said hopefully.
He did say
I
that.
Said hopefully we'll get to see you at regionals and the games. I didn't say see you at regionals
right.
and the games.
No
said,
bad we, luck. No, gotta no earn bad it.
We
gotta
said
earn
hopefully
them
you gotta earn it. I think we've seen it in the past where there's been some pretty badass athletes kind of missed the games last year, especially at regionals. Do you get nervous about that, by the way?
Yeah, every now and then there's still always the nerves of competing. Everybody's so good at this point that you can't have any major slip-ups. But again, I think once you get that first one out of the way and you do relatively well, kind of like I was able to start off with last year, keep the momentum going, then the nerves aren't there as prevalent as they would be. But I know that before the snatch event, last year, I was sweating bullets. My palms were dripping sweat. I kept picturing in my mind myself missing my snatches, both attempts, like either in front or behind. And I don't know, that environment, the one or two lifts to make something is a little bit more high pressure. So those, I think, will always kind of get me nervous. But for the rest of them, I'm pretty confident in my abilities, and I just got to go out there and do what I do and have fun and hopefully make it to the regionals and the games again this year.
Yeah, because if not, I would have wasted money on flights.
And I'll pay you back.
That'd be a disaster. What is your snatch at nowadays?
The last snatch that I've hit was 285.
Ouch.
Or did I hit 288? I think maybe in Dubai. I think it was 288 out in Dubai. So 12 pounds off 300, which has always been a big goal for me. I'm actually, it's funny, I've been doing this for 5 years, but I just rediscovered something about my snatch. So it's always changing, and hopefully I'll find what works best for me technically and be able to just keep moving heavyweight and making it feel good and look good.
I'm almost at a 288 deadlift.
Nice, man. It. That'd be pretty big.
That's huge. That's about what Max lifts. Max is crushing it. Anyway, dude, well, it's been real.
Should we have Max? We could do an interview with Max real quick.
Can you make him? Actually, you know what? So that's one thing that's pretty cool, that Noah does have some pretty cool tricks. Whoa, you just woke up Max. Get that mic in there, too, if you can hold up the mic to his mouth, because otherwise I don't know if we're going to be able to hear it. So here's Max. He woke up from his long nap.
Good boy. Ready, Max? Speak. 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 Speak.
He's like, give me the dang food already. Hey, so Max, how do you feel about your Nulo sponsorship?
Speak.
Sounds like he's disgruntled. He wants more.
That's good.
Oh, it sounds good. Okay. Give me the dang food already. Whoa. Oh, attaboy.
Young Maximus Olsen. As the man, the myth, and the legend.
That's my best buddy.
I will tell you, in the words of a very smart man, and guys, it's been real. It's been
fun.
But it ain't been real fun.
No, we thank you again for wasting 50 minutes of our lives.
I don't know what the hell we talked about this whole time.
I have no idea. I know there's a couple times that I was rambling about something or the other, and I didn't even get to finish my thought. I can't remember what the hell it was. And nobody gives a shit, so it doesn't matter. No, thank you for hosting us in your beautiful 10,000 square foot apartment.
Yeah, man. Oh, beautiful vaulted ceilings, the whole nine, the porcelain throne you got in there that
the
I got
bidet,
to sit on.
I'm going
to
go test it out now.
Yeah, and that'll wrap up, ladies and gentlemen, episode numero 9. Noah, what do you want to say to the fans at home before we let them go?
These nuts.
That's it. And we're not, by the way, I want you both to know we're not editing any of this out. The whole thing is going as is.
That's kind of been my thing lately. I don't know why. These nuts. I like to.
These nuts is cool. Yeah, today you sent me a these nuts thing. Mom, you're probably the only one listening. These nuts.
Miss Malinsky, I'm sorry.
We're sorry.
We're not talking about Dylan's nuts.
No, we're just talking about these.
These nuts.
Oh, good. She'll have nothing but amazing things to say about this podcast. And I will tell you guys that next episode, we're going to be on with someone even more special than Steve Suarez. And no, just kidding. I don't know about that. But no, in reality, guys, we got an important announcement coming up here in just a couple of weeks. Some really exciting things brewing here in the offseason, aside from the Open, aside from regionals and the games. No, I don't think he even knows about it yet, but it is coming. And
I'm excited to find out.
Be ready. Yes, sir. Steve, do you have anything to add to that?
This is going
to
blow people's minds. It's going to take us to the stratosphere when we announce this.
Oh, man.
It drew it right into the mic. I don't know if it's – can you guys hear it now? I think it's broken.
I don't know, man.
I a solid stream right in the middle.
That's disgusting. That all awesome. Good. Disgusting. What is not disgusting was this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. Hope you guys enjoy it. Make sure to refer your friends. You heard all those discount codes. No,
what if they're listening during the day? Why are you telling them to have a great night? What if it's like morning?
Oh, because I still want them to have a good night that night.
Oh, okay.
In that case, I think we're good.
Brush. Genius.
That's it. All right, guys. Enough of this rambling on. Have a great day. God bless.
Thank you, America.